The lesson for the 13th Sunday in Trinity is found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Command that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in the kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant. But it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called to them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must not be served, but to serve, even as the Son of Man came and gave his life as a ransom for many." To be a slave is not an easy thing. And yet, we are called through the gospel to be slaves, first of all to the gospel itself, and then to each other. And this is the lifestyle of the Christian. This is what the dancing servant on the altar represents. We meet each other on essence grounds, and then we forgive and ask to be forgiven. There's nothing so hard as to say, "God, I can't stand that person. Forgive me." It is not within me to condone the actions of friends of mine who are only slaves to themselves and to alcohol. The very thing they think is freeing them is enslaving them. And it is at that point that I must say, "My God, I can't forgive. Make me their slave." As slaves to each other, we have to will one thing, and that will must be for the good. Kierkegaard says that purity of heart is to will one thing, and that the willing is done in the name of truth. We pledge allegiance to the will of the gospel and not to a state crying hate and war. Henrik Ibsen's Brahms, to me, exemplifies the ideal Christian will, except for one very important and essential aspect, love. And this is the flaw of Brahms. This is a tragic flaw which makes the play a tragedy, and which brings the character of Brun to his downfall. And maybe this is what brings the Christian to his downfall in his will to live, if he doesn't have love. So perhaps it isn't the ideal Christian will, but rather a zeal we should carry into our Christian lives. Brun says, "First there must be will. You must will your way through fear, resolutely, joyfully. It is not martyrdom to die in agony on a cross, but to will that you shall die upon a cross, to will it in the extremity of pain, to will it when the spirit cries in torment. That is to find salvation." And at the end of the play, with an avalanche pouring down on him in the mountains, Brun cries out, "Is there hope above for one who with his dying breath willed all?" And my answer to him would be no. Because Brun lacked the essential servant quality of love in his character and in his life. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you, you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Shall we continue with the morning suffrages on page 150?